Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 7th, 2023, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Morning, Terry.
It's a really nice morning today.
It is a beautiful
little crispy,
morning.
But it's just pretty.
We brought you in on a good day.
Yeah,
we brought
well,
you in on a good day. We got the band.
Maybe
back
I brought
together.
The good day.
It could be that. It very well could be that. And Friday.
I don't
doesn't
know about
hurt.
That, but
it's a little column A.
You know, hey, wrong whatever.
We got a lot of fun things lined up for you this morning. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. Looking forward to that. We're also going to touch on some Easter stuff. Of course, Easter this weekend. Want to make sure to get into that. But along with that, I have the top things we miss about being a kid.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that should be a good one. We'll get into that right away. Four tips so you don't overdo those kids' Easter baskets. And we've got a bit of an Easter.
It's a little late for
it's
that.
It's very
I
late
probably.
For that. It's very late for that.
I mean, that.
That
bunny's been busy.
Yeah, yeah. An Easter rundown. We'll go over some other interesting things about that. Starbucks has a new drink we got to talk about. We have entertainment news for you as well. That'll be a little bit later. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll get to Melissa's news. And then after that, we are going to have our star of the day.
Awesome.
Terry and I are going to play a famous TV theme song. And you guys call up at 424-2600 to get the question right. And you win a family pack of four from our friends at Culver's.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
I love it.
So cool. And we got it might be a tough one today.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Might be a tough one. I didn't necessarily plan that, but the history events that happened, why we're playing
okay.
It, kind of forced our hand a
and
little
I've got
bit
one
here.
For next week.
Oh,
so
good.
We got to talk about that
good.
Off air.
Excellent. Excellent. That's so good. I'm looking forward to that. And the 9 o'clock hour, entertainment news, then a right stories, good stories of the day. And we're going to have some fun with all of that today. And actually, I don't know if we're going to do any of that any right stories today.
Oh.
I didn't find any ones that were like
awesome.
Really that good. And I'm like, eh, why? You know, why? We can make fun of criminals any day. Maybe we won't today. It's a Friday. Want to put some good spirits and good vibes out there. We're going to have fun doing it. All of this going on, and I know there is even more going on with our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, so we actually do have a lot going on in the month of April. So I think I'll just give a little update about that. Next week, Wednesday, is our community shred day. So that's that's an important one, you know, to gather up your stuff because you only have a week, less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is happening at Prevail Bank on Wednesday, April 12th. From 9 until 11 a.m. And they are located at 1801 Lincoln Street. So, you know, kind of across from Quick Trip there, mm-hmm. if you're not familiar. And you basically can just drive up with your items that need to be shredded. So this would be any sensitive documents, right, that you've had sitting around that you really shouldn't have sitting around.
Yes.
And the idea is to, you know, really ultimately prevent identity theft and make sure that those documents are getting shredded. But Prevail Bank hosts the event, and they donate $1 for every pound of paper shredded, up to $1,000. And then Bank Account Corporation also donates $1 a pound on top of that. So we need people to bring paper because the first 2,000 pounds results in a $2,000 donation to United Way.
Yeah,
so it's really cool. I will say that sometimes we don't have room left at 11 o'clock because once the shred truck is full, it's full. I mean, he can't get any more on there.
Yeah.
So I do encourage you, if you plan to participate, you know, be there right close to 9 and we will even come to your car and unload for you. So you don't even have to, you don't even have to get out.
Yeah.
So that's happening on April 12th. We are, you know, in the midst of our calendar raffle right now. Mm. So those drawings started on Monday. So you can check those out if you want to know who's winning. If you jumped in and bought tickets, those are posted on our website and of course on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You can see who those winners are so far. And then we also are taking teams for United We Can.
Mm-hmm.
That's our food sculpture contest happening June 15th. And the other, you know, kind of, I guess, time sensitive thing for folks is, you know, tax day is coming.
Yes. Yes.
Not that anyone wants to be the one talking about that.
Not
however.
But
what we do have a free tax service called My Free Taxes. And you can get to that by visiting our website at uwswac.org. And then you can click on, there's a banner that comes across your homepage. And you can click right on My Free Taxes. And if your household income was less than $72,000 in 2022, you qualify to file your taxes for free. If it was over that, or you have some additional schedules that need to be done,
mm-hmm.
It is, you can still file there, and the cost is very minimal. Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not going to cost you. It's not gonna, you're not going to go from zero to 400 or right, something like right. that. So very user friendly, can be even done on a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. If that's, you know, the only computer, so to speak, that you might have easy access to. So we just encourage people to, if you haven't already filed, head on over and check it out.
It's a great tool. It's something that I've been using for about 4 years now. I think this will be my fifth year using it. And I come from a family, you know, of Italians. And I say this jokingly and seriously. Like, we heard all the time, you know, the tax man took Capone down. You know, all that. So taxes,
I thought you guys were the tax man.
Right? We don't oh, I'm not supposed to that department.
Oh, I'm not supposed to say that on the radio?
Just not that department. No. We it's too busy for us. We got a lot of the things we're doing. So, but
people were busted up.
It's always been in my head. Like, I am going to make sure to get my taxes right. Like, that is not how I'm getting taken out.
Get them done right away.
Getting them done.
Yeah.
It's been great because this has given me a little more confidence with not just with doing my taxes, but with, I guess, my finances and a lot
sure.
of those things.
Absolutely.
I didn't think that it would. I always had that stuff intimidate me a little bit. When I started doing my free taxes thing, I got a little braver with other things. Just feel so much more connected. And
I feel like you're a little more in control, don't you?
Yes,
I mean, not
yes.
that you're not always in control of your own money, but, no, but you just... The more you know about it, the better you'll be.
And there's something that it feels like building to me. Like whenever I get done building something or I'm working on a project with my dad or something, we finish and we're looking at it. It kind of feels like that when I finish my taxes. I'm like, oh, that feels good. I did that. Like, and again, so far, no tax man. I'm all right. Seems pretty good. Seems all right.
Do you want me to walk you to your car later?
Maybe. If you could maybe just check the door first. If you wouldn't mind, like, starting the car for me real quick. No, I'm joking. I would never. We also want to make sure to talk about another great event coming up, the United We Can event. That is a special, wonderful event that we look forward to every summer.
Yeah, so this is our food sculpture contest, June 15th. It's a Thursday, and it takes place at a Rafters game. So, you know, that makes it really fun. Good captive audience of the community. And, you know, we already have, I think we have four teams signed up. But, cool. you know, our goal is always 10 to 12 teams.
Yeah.
But, of course, we would take more. We're not going to turn anyone away. We also had a company who for many years had been building a food sculpture, but they just don't have the staff capacity to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But they sponsor a sculpture.
Nice.
So they've given us funds. They've set aside funds and said, if you have someone who wants to build, but they can't afford the food. Mm. So that's really cool. And we've put that offer out to, you know, partner programs of ours, right? So other nonprofits, like 1 year, the Boys and Girls Club Teen Center did a build. Yeah, so, you know, we said, well, here's your budget. I mean, they still had to do it all. Like, I'm not going out buying the food for them. They had to, which is a good learning opportunity for them,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But, you know, here's your budget and you go out and buy the food and make the sculpture. So we have that as an opportunity this year. So cool. It just kind of goes to show all of the ways that individuals and businesses and organizations, right? You don't have to be a for-profit business to participate. But it just shows all the ways that people can get involved. So what we're looking for really right now is food sculptures. So organizations or businesses to say, yes, we will build a food sculpture on June 15th. And if they sign up to do that prior to May, I believe, 12th, they get put in a drawing for... They all get tickets to the game, you know, after they build, but they get put in a drawing for tickets in the Point Craft River, which is cool. You know, that's underneath the rat trap. So that's a really neat area, foods included and all that kind of thing. So they could win something for participating. We're also taking, as I said, monetary sponsorships for teams that want to build. And then, you know, coming up as we get closer to the event, we'll be looking for people who are coming to the game to bring non-perishable food items with them to the game. And then also there's a community choice award. So when you come to the game, you get to vote on two sculptures. Mm-hmm. We have two categories and they're really very complicated, small and large.
Yes. It's very difficult. Very difficult.
So you pick your favorite small sculpture, which means they use less than 500 cans, and you pick your favorite large sculpture over 500 cans. So, you know, it's just really fun. The idea is to build awareness around hunger. We typically leverage between 8,000 and 10,000 pounds of food that day. And then that is distributed to food programs in our community that are part of our Southwood County Hunger Coalition. So, I mean, it's just win, 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 right?
You get to not only take in a Raptors game, but if you bring a non-perishable food item, you'll also feel good donating to this cause and taking the Raptors in as they beat the Kalamazoo Growlers that day.
Absolutely.
Because they will. I'm predicting that.
You know what's fun, too, about the when people bring donations? So when you're just coming to the game and you might, you know, bring a couple cans of food or a whole bag of food or whatever, our friends from McMillan Library often will volunteer, and they will come and just build something, not part of the contest, just out of what's being dropped off. And that's really fun because, you know, I mean, you got to be thinking on your feet, right? Because it's completely random. Not like the other sculptures where you've, you know, planned it and you have an engineered document that says four red cans.
I'm
you know, like
these,
the, yeah.
these items for
so,
this. Yeah.
So I think that's always fun, too, that they're willing to participate in that way. And it helps promote the library. And of course, you know, we are literacy focused, you know, and Women United is all about literacy. So for us to be able to, you know, kind of co-feature the library, that's awesome.
I as a side note, real quick, I do want to send a shout out to McMillan, McMillan Memorial Library. They I really have admired the new management over there and how they have been running things and how things have been running.
I love
over
Catherine.
There.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
She's awesome. Yeah. She's awesome. And I really am excited about the future for that, not just that place, but for our community. And I couldn't agree with you more that the creativity that it comes, not just especially with McMillan because of the improv nature of it, but judging these things is literally one of the hardest things I've had to do in my, this industry.
I'm sure.
It's rough because you want everybody to win, and there are some that are, this is the worst that happens. You see, like, the first one, and it blows you away. And then the next one also blows you away. Like, well, what's the rest of them going to be like? Like,
or you come across one where kids help build it, you know, and they're standing there looking at you. Mr. Pickup.
There's no way you can vote against that. Like, I'm so, like, my own kids, I don't know if I could have. Like, I'm sorry, guys, but I gotta, you know.
You know, I always wonder, like, the folks from the library, when they're sitting there, like, are they going, if someone would just bring two more boxes of mac and cheese, you know what I mean? Like, for their layout. Yeah, like, we could, remember that when you were little, like, you're digging through, like, well, I guess with my brothers it was Legos, but I always think of like Lincoln Logs, you know, the little, where you're like, I just need one more of the little ones, you know, because you have this grand plan and you can't find the darn block.
Well, I that's crazy you said that because I didn't have a ton of either, but I would combine my Lincoln Logs and Legos. I would try to find things I could do together with them and stuff because just like you're saying, I didn't have enough pieces.
Like,
I didn't have enough, I'd have these great things in my head and it came like just a ship. Like, and I got this fleet in my head, but I'm in the little ship.
Little barge.
Little ship. Got to be careful how I'm saying that. Since 2013, this event has collected over 64,000 pounds of food and over 5,000 pounds since just 2008 for local food programs. We work closely and we talk with our good friends over at Focus a lot. A good morning to Dale and the gang over there. Dale sends me monthly updates of the how they did that month and the food they distributed and everything. We know how important this is to us. And just similar to literacy and some other things that you guys highlight and headline over there at the United Way, do an amazing job, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna add one more thing about United Way Canada. I think you know, you bring up Focus, and we have three programs that we help fund at Focus, right? The community meals and backpacks and
neighborhood table
and the sweat and Sweps food pantry.
Sweps,
yep. Yeah. Neighborhood meals now.
It's neighborhood meals.
You
gotta
you gotta get it up to date.
Yeah,
man.
I do. Yeah. Hey, Dale's gonna smack
me. But then also, I think it's just important to note that there are some additional food programs. So the Family Center has a food pantry that we help to support with this event. For current in-shelter clients as well as those who might have been recently left the shelter but they still need additional supports. And we have another backpack weekend food program for kids in Nakusa. And then we also help support the food pantry in Adams, which is part of our service area. And we've had some food sculptures coming now from Adams. So West Rock is one of our good partners. So I think it's just really important to know that. And that's why we do this event. I mean, we do it to leverage food, but ultimately we do it to educate the public on hunger.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nobody that should be hungry out there. Not on our watch. We
Absolutely.
Shouldn't allow that. And it's great to see this community come together every year for this. And not just this event, I should mention as well, since you're talking about it too. So, you know, people donate to SWEPs all the time. And we're so thankful to that and appreciate that so very much. Shows how much more connected we are as a community.
Absolutely.
Take a break, but before we do, I'll encourage you to check out uswswac.org. That is where you can find all the information Terry has been telling you about. You can also find links to many of the things that she was referring to. uswswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow. Be back with more Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James taking you through the morn. And it's time for us to dive into our national day of calendar for this April 7th. It is Poet in a Cupcake Day.
Interesting.
If you are a literature nerd, then you'd know a little bit about poets and their history. They can be moody, are sarcastic, and quite truthful at times. That's not true. You see what I was doing there? If you love the art of poetry and are looking for a way to express the love, then check out Poet in a Cupcake Day. Poet in a Cupcake Day is a day to celebrate your favorite poets while making your favorite cupcakes.
Sounds just like a good excuse, right?
An excuse for both.
And I love to make cupcakes, like different fillings,
really?
Different frosting, different flavor. Oh yeah,
I didn't know that.
And so, so this is interesting to me. Now I can't say I have a favorite poet, so I don't really fall into that. But that cupcake looks good.
Well, do you have like a favorite singer or songwriter? Because maybe if they write their own music, I would consider them a poet or a writer.
Sure. I can just bake cupcakes.
Yes, you do. Please. Yes, and make extra.
Make extra. More.
Yes. Yeah. National Making the First Move Day. Yikes.
That is so cute. That little kid.
Yeah. Join founder Gretchen Day Boyce and take the pledge to prevent the end and end bullying and its effects. Make the first move in being kind to yourself and others.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. That is not what I thought this was.
No. My mind
because
was going
just,
completely
but
other
But just
direction.
To give people some perspective, what we see is kind of a girl. Oh, now I see that they're not maybe being nice. I thought he was writing something. You know what I mean? That looks like he's writing a note. So I'm thinking it's the old classic note pass, you know,
yes,
like, do you like me?
Yes. I immediately, like, my...
Because it's so cute.
I felt my, like, heart in my throat for a second there because I've literally never made a first move in my life. Like, not once. Not from, like, the first kiss I had at 12 to, you know, etc. I'm just not that guy. I was raised to be a gentleman and everything. So, you know, you let the woman make the first move. After that, I'm fine. But make the first move. That is what I thought because we see a little kid who looks like he's going to write a note and some girls behind him.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought.
Yeah. So it's totally cute. And you know what? If you feel so inclined, go ahead and make the first move.
Yes.
But
yes,
this is a serious thing, right? So when you see this, and I know there's probably not a lot of kids listening, but it is important, you know, speak up for other kids.
Yeah. And as important as it is that this does affect kids and it's about kids, I don't know if they're the ones that we need listening.
True. And let's be real. There's a lot of adult bullies too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not just kids.
I don't think that there are many more I'm talking about adult bullying here. I don't think there are many more cowardly things in bullying. You really show your colors with that. It's like a 2-on-1 fight. Like, there's no honor in that. There's no, you know, you show that your colors in those situations.
Well, and it's always, and, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that when it comes to those things, take that with a grain of salt. Take these things with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and it usually says more about the person who's doing the talking,
yeah.
the bullying,
yeah.
right, than it does about whatever it is that they're saying.
I know how I would, you know, if my kids were little and they were dealing with social media, I know how I would handle it, but I don't want to sound like I know how I would handle it.
I was going to say, careful with that because you think, I mean, I've got teenagers and you... with social media mm-hmm. and you think, you know, you think about that as a parent, like, okay, if this would happen, this is what I do. If this would happen, this is what I do until it happens.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh crap. Well, what do we do? You know what I mean? Like it's really hard.
It gives an opportunity, I think, to have some empathy for modern parents
and give each other a little grace.
Yes.
I mean,
give each other
man.
A little grace. And oftentimes, like when it comes to kids and bullying, I think a very different thing. I wonder what's going on in the house. I wonder what's going on with that kid. Why are they acting out? Why are they acting this way? Maybe it's learned behavior. Maybe it's something they learned from their dad or mom bully. You know,
so then,
who knows?
Yeah, so then it's
or
multiple.
Or maybe it's something else.
Right? Like, what do you do about that? How do you
right,
get to the root cause
right.
of that? But then what about the one who's being bullied? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's multiple factors to what needs to happen. So, you know, and I think probably a really important part of this, too, if you really think about it, is giving a lot of credit to our schools and teachers and leadership at schools who are trying to sort through all this and weed through it all.
I just, I think we have a, I couldn't agree with you more, Terry. I'm really glad you took a moment to say that. I think that so often we compare, we do comparative arguments in our head. Well, when I look at this subject, I was really bullied a lot growing up, and especially when I moved out here. I stood out like a sore thumb, and I was picked on like crazy. And then I got to go home, and I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't deal with it. I had a couple friends. I was all right. I go back to school, deal with it. You end up having tolerance and build and all these things, and different character developments come out of that. But I had a release. I had a break from it and everything. With social media nowadays, there is no break
no
for
break.
These kids.
There is no break.
For parents of, you know, kids that are in their older and stuff and didn't deal with social media like this, it's important for us to hear these stories, for us to understand this and see, well, how can we help or what can we do? Sometimes there isn't much you could do but listen, but you can at least do that and at least be aware, have some empathy about it. Let's see.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the whole, this is a passing the note, do you like me?
I like that too. Yeah, I like that one a lot better. Yeah. I like that. National No Housework Day.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, it's a Friday. Enjoy. It's also National Beer Day, everybody. So
all right. No work and
no
beer. Tomorrow is going to be a little rough.
Gonna be a bit of a long Saturday, maybe.
When you need to do your housework for Easter, probably. And, hopefully you didn't drink too much beer, but take it while you have it, right?
Yes. International Beaver Day. Shout out to the beavers. They're great. They're awesome. Beavers are cool animals. So I mentioned it's National Beer Day. It's also Walk to Work Day and World Health Day.
Very interesting.
They're just really like throwing you like a real twist here of all this.
Trying to offset. I mean, gosh, you and I are late for Walk to Work, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I would have walked to work.
I would not. I would have had about 6 miles to get here.
I guess I'm not that far. I've walked farther. Of course, I did that when I was a younger man, so I don't know.
Because, you have your walker now.
Right.
I don't mind the walking. I really like walking, actually.
Mm, I love
but
walking.
But, to get here for 10 to 7 and walk 6 miles? Not happening. No. I could walk home, I suppose.
Right.
With my beer. Yes, oh, that's open container. That probably wouldn't work, huh?
Probably not. Your husband may have an issue with that. You better. And of course, today is Good Friday. A Good Friday to everyone out there celebrating. We wish you a great one. Happy Passover as well.
That's what I was just going to say. Yes. I was going to ask you. Today is Passover, yes? Okay.
Sundown. Every Jewish holiday begins at sundown. Yep. So, and of course, I wanted to just take a quick glance at Saturday, see if there's anything on Saturday.
There's
got to
be something noteworthy.
Well, it's National Pygmy Hippo Day. Okay.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And National Zoo Lovers.
Know
Day.
A lot of those?
not the Pygmy Hippo Day, but I am a zoo lover for sure.
I like the zoo.
I don't know how much fun you're going to have at a zoo right now.
Sometimes I feel like I live in one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, our best trip. Our best trip to the zoo ever was we went to the Milwaukee Zoo one time in October.
Oh,
it was fabulous. The kids had a no school day and we were like, oh, yeah, let's go. And it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, not cool like neat, but cool temperature.
Yes.
I mean, it was like jeans and sweatshirt weather and all of the animals were out and active. They weren't, you go in the summer and they're like laying there like they're near death because it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's sunny, like, and they've closed their gate so they can't get in.
I'm a lion. I'm not entertaining you. It's 80 out.
Yeah.
I'm in Wisconsin. I should I'm not entertaining you.
So that was the best zoo trip we ever had.
That's a cool, and I'm glad you said that.
And there weren't a bajillion people either.
I think one of the best times I've had at the zoo, my sister and I, for Halloween for a couple of years in a row, we'd go to the Henry Villas Zoo in Madison. They always do this cool thing where everybody's in costumes.
Yeah, they do a Halloween,
Yeah, it's awesome. We love it. And that was probably one of the best times I've had either one of those, and it was in October. It was
awesome.
Yeah. On Sunday, it is International Name Yourself Day. That seems fun.
Wow.
I'll be, that's the day I'll go by Vincenzo. That's the day I'll go by that day. And National Cherish and Antique Day is Sunday. That's a nice
All
one.
Right.
National Unicorn Day is Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. It's National Winston Churchill Day as well. That's an interesting one. Honorary U.S. Citizen. I don't know if many people know that, but Winston Churchill, after World War II, was named an honorary U.S. citizen.
That's awesome.
And there's more interesting things about that. Certainly an interesting man. One of the most quoted human beings, I think, there is. And so much of of World War II has Winston Churchill, you know, in it and everything. And, of course, Sunday is Easter. And we want to wish everybody a very happy Easter out there. We hope you enjoy it. Enjoy your family, your friends, kids. Enjoy. Good luck hunting. For those Easter baskets and those Easter eggs, I'm rooting for you. I don't know how it's going to go for you, but we're rooting for you. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into more fun. We're going to, actually, when we come back, Terry, the top things we miss about being a kid. Actually, I think we might start the 8 o'clock hour off with that.
All right.
That's a longer one. I want to take some time with that. When we come back, we'll get into some tips about kids' Easter baskets. That's coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great Friday out there. Thanks for joining us. Terry and James here with you, playing through some Alice in Chains. God, I love that band. Time for us to get into an interesting one here. And Terry, I'm really glad that you brought this up earlier and you mentioned this. And we want to be careful with this because it's a Friday before Easter. And we know how busy the Easter Bunny is.
That's right.
We don't like to interfere with what the Easter Bunny's doing. It's a stressful gig. It's a heavy gig. And, you know, other than Santa, I don't know many people that know what it's like to be the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So we're going to kind of help right now. We got some tips about putting Easter baskets together. And maybe won't help the Easter Bunny on this one, but maybe next year. Maybe next year it'll
help.
Yeah,
Bunny's like, dude, you're late.
Yeah, yeah. We are sorry about that, but to get down this earlier for you. But Easter is Sunday, and according to a new survey, 92% of people who celebrate say they'll buy Easter candy. And the Easter Bunny will get this candy and stuff.
You know, and I'm an Easter candy buyer. Like, I like all the – but I've had it out. My sister and I were shopping probably about a month ago, you know, and I'm like – and I get home and I'm like tearing open the bags and putting it all in little dishes with my Easter stuff. So probably most of my Easter candy's been picked over already. By kids and friends.
Here are four tips for the Easter Bunny. And again, we have some fun with this. Buy small, meaning the candy in the Easter basket itself. If the basket is small, it won't take as much candy to fill. And fun-sized candy can make a big difference in how much sugar your kids eat all at one time.
Yeah, that could be. When I was a kid, in our Easter basket, there was always a chocolate bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
And we always ate them. You know what I mean? It was a hollow, you know, but and it hollow. Wasn't, it was not, like you see in the store, like the four-footer.
No,
you know
what
I mean?
No.
It was just, and we always, I don't know, all four of us ate them. If the Easter bunny happens to put one in my kid's basket, they never eat them.
Oh,
they
really?
Do not eat the chocolate bunny.
Huh. I remember it felt like the last Easter I did this, where I was hunting down eggs in my Nana Pop's backyard in Rome and everything, and I remember seeing them afterwards, like this bowl of eggs, and my Nana and Papa like cracking some open, like eating some and like things like that. And I never even thought about that. It wasn't until then, like, oh my gosh, yeah, of course you would eat. Why would you? You wouldn't just throw them away. Like, I never thought about that until that moment.
That they were like. Yeah, you're thinking of a more like toy, like toys, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're being handled, then they're going to be ditched.
I am personally very thankful that my parents didn't have smaller Easter baskets, because it was hard enough to find those things the way my dad would hide Easter baskets. If they were small, you know, the way an Easter, but he helped the Easter Bunny do that and stuff. So, yeah. Fill it with stuff other than candy, like stickers, pencils, Legos, crayons, and other art supplies.
Smart.
Yes, yes.
Maybe older kids, the bunny could put gift cards in or something.
It's not a bad idea.
You know, just little ones.
This is all stuff to help the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes parents got to help the Easter Bunny. Sometimes we get stuff or we send the list of these things to the Easter Bunny to help out. Get some expectations. One easy way to limit your kids' candy intake is to include a note from that the Easter Bunny leaves, telling them how they can eat each day, how many they can eat each day. the way you don't come out looking,
think about that. Okay, I very closely correlate that with Halloween.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, you go trick-or-treating, and then you have all this candy all of a sudden that you don't normally have. And then, I don't know, I was always like, you can gorge, like, for a day or two.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
after that, it's like, okay.
Yes.
You know, maybe, like, one or two pieces, right?
I just remembered. So we always got those chocolate bunnies as well, but they were always hollow.
Yeah, one ours year, too.
1 year they were solid chocolate. I'll never forget.
Dang.
And I'm like going to take a bite of it, and I look over, and my dad's like staring
You're
at
like
me,
like breaking your teeth.
Like, well, no, my dad's staring at me like I've got the last piece of bread in the world or something. Like he's just staring at this chocolate bunny, like how badly we broke it in half. I gave him some.
Okay, when did you eat the eye? Remember the little candy eye on those?
I ate it right away.
Eye was first.
Yes, loved it. Oh, it was the
best
part.
Maybe I ate around it. Mm. Saved it for last.
I might have saved it for last, but knowing me, I might have also eaten it right away. Let's see here. Integrate. Integrate with physical activity, like making the candy part of a scavenger hunt or adding the candy to a treat bag when going for a walk or a hike.
So during COVID, you know, because that Easter, I mean, because if you recall, we locked down, you know, mid-March,
yeah,
and then Easter was shortly thereafter. So we really weren't doing like our big family get together or anything. And that year, the Easter Bunny did a scavenger hunt at our house.
I love that.
So that was awesome.
One of the funnest things I've ever done is a scavenger hunt as a kid. That was a blast. I should mention this too, because we school's off today, so we might have some kids listening out there and everything. And we like that. We always appreciate that. I want to give these kids though a little heads up that they may have not gotten in school, because you're not going to learn this in school. Well, you'll learn it from me. I'll teach you this.
I'm really afraid of what's going to come out of your
mouth. Yeah, you should be.
I'm going to plug my ears.
The Tooth Fairy is very well connected with the Easter Bunny and Santa and Jack Skellington from Halloween and all that stuff. So that candy intake you have, you want to pace that. You don't want to make that it easy
Good
for
point.
The kid, you know, Tooth Fairy or anything
Good
like
point.
That. Have some fun with it, but also, you know, pace yourself. That way it'll last longer too.
I love that I think it's in one of the Santa Claus movies, you know, the Tim Allen movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love that. They all are together. So it's the Tooth Fairy and Santa and the Easter Bunny and Sandman.
Yes.
And so, you know what I mean? And they're all together because they're all working toward a common goal.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of fun to see them all collaborating.
I didn't know
that.
So
you're right. Brush your teeth. Floss also.
In my head, that's how it always was.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
Like headquarters?
Like when it's like June 3rd or whatever and there's nothing to do, like they're just all sitting around having coffee.
And
like
they are.
So, a couple of them are playing puzzles together.
It's a true story.
This is what they do.
True story.
It's got to be kind of, you know, when you only work one day a year, it does seem to be like, how are you going to fill the time? Like,
I don't know. I think they're working way more than one day a year.
I heard Santa, big knitter. Likes to knit. Like, that's one of the ways that he gets, you know, buys his time and stuff. We will take a break and come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. This is a tough bumper.
What is this?
It's Anita Baker. So is it giving you the best that I got, I think?
I'm ejecting this one.
Yeah. I can't talk over her voice.
What if we each had veto power on one?
Oh, I like that. Yes.
But you cannot take Mickey out. Because you get veto power on one, but you also get hold power on one that no one else can veto.
Oh, I like this. Yes. Okay. Everybody,
everybody gets to pick one.
Get this. Yes. All the on-air people.
And then all the rest, anybody can throw up.
Okay. I like that. I like this. We'll get our list to Seth, and that'll just be the 90th thing on his plate.
He would elevate it to first on his plate.
He probably would.
Quite quickly.
Probably would. And I have no doubt. He's loving this. Absolutely. I want to thank our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. They're going to be joining us in just a little bit. Terry and I will take it to the top of the hour. At 9 o'clock, we'll catch up on CBS with CBS News, World News. After that, we'll get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. And this is an important day to do this because I've got to ask Paul. I saw a possible 70s next week.
I was just going to say, because there's 70s in the forecast.
Yeah.
I saw like 76.
Yeah,
I mean, not just 70.
One? Yeah, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. I want to hear right from Paul that
Paul,
that's
he just
possible.
Called you a horse.
Yes, I did. Did not mean that. I
think you did.
I don't know if that phrase should really be used anymore. I don't know.
Well, because there's something remarkable about a talking horse.
There is. Yeah. There's something you don't see anymore. You don't see any TV shows
any
with
Mr.
talking
Ed?
Animals. Yeah, you don't see that anymore. Nobody
does
that anymore.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I was just explaining to my kids the other day how the only time we could watch cartoons when we were little was on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So like you got up and you, I mean, you got up and you moved to the couch. You didn't get dressed or brush your hair, but you know, went to watch cartoons. And now they can just watch cartoons whenever they want.
From the moment I moved up here and I had a cable around me, whether at Nana Pops or my parents' house or anything, I never slept in on a Saturday. I knew exactly the lineup that was going on that Saturday morning.
I mean, we were mostly watching Bugs Bunny, let's be real, because it was on for like an hour and a half compared to the 15 minutes of the others. Yeah. But that's just a foreign concept to kids.
Mm, yeah.
Well, like many other things, but it is just weird. So maybe, I don't know.
That may be one of the things that, like, there's not a lot of stuff that hits the heart, like I feel for kids about us, because so much evolves and they have so many other things going on where they don't have Saturday morning cartoons. They got tablets and they can pull up a cartoon anytime they want, that kind of thing. I this one, though, I feel a little like, oh, they're missing out.
Yeah, they're
this.
Missing out. Well, I think that's one of the reasons that I really liked the Shrek movies. Yes. I love the talking donkey.
Yes.
I mean,
it's great.
There was the comedy of it, too. But I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Everyone needs a talking horse in their life.
They need, well, I was joking with Seth the other day. I'm like, this is another thing that I kind of miss, the charm of the ridiculous movie concept.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Hanks is a down on his luck detective. His new partner, a dog. And, you know, and Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to see, like, maybe TV shows, but you don't see movies like that anymore.
But there's really not a lot of just fun-loving, family-friendly
movies
anymore.
No, they've got these studio companies are like, well, how much money can we make off it? Like, are we sure that we can make a profit off it that we're not interested? Is there a superhero involved?
You might remember probably about 6 weeks ago, on a morning show, we were talking about the movie Babe.
Yeah.
Because
the
guy in it was his birthday. I can't remember
James
his name.
Cromwell.
Yeah, yeah. But so that night, we actually watched Babe.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is just a cute...
It holds up.
Family movie,
cool.
You know?
Yeah, that's cool that it holds up, too, though. Yeah. Not all those movies do.
I mean, I'm not certain my 15-year-old was... Yeah. I mean, she sat and watched it with me, but, because when you look at the quality of the, of the picture, but it was just like, dang, where are these movies?
It's worse when you go back and watch something, and not only does it not hold up, but you, like, cringe when you watch it, like, oh, no. Like, what was I watching? What was my kids watching? I do this all the time, and spoiler alert coming with Finding Nemo, the beginning of the movie, the mom dies. Spoiler alert. For a movie that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But my daughter, she was so bothered by this.
Yeah.
She learned on the DVD player to be able to, that you could start in chapters, and she would start the movie.
Right after that,
every time.
How sweet is that?
And she figured it out. Like, she figured it out and stuff. I'm still to this day proud of her for that.
That was kind of hard to take, though.
You know, Disney and Pixar do that a lot, though. They Bambi, I mean, how many movies where the mom goes out? You know, it's like, ouch.
Yeah, what are they taking the mom out for?
Well, and then half the other time, it's a woman that's the villain, too. Like, it's like, wait a minute here. What are you guys doing? But, after we're done talking with Paul Trombley, Terry and I, speaking of kids.
The horse.
Are going to get into the top things we miss about being a kid. So that should be fun.
Does yours include pounding on your siblings?
No, actually.
Oh, good.
No. I don't miss that at all. So, I'm sure they don't either. I want to get into this first, though. Easter rundown. This Sunday is Easter, so we ventured out into the internet to uncover some interesting facts and stats, and here they are. For some reason, people are staying home this Easter. In a poll, people were asked what they did last year and what they planned to do this year. 67% of people spent their time with friends and family last year, while 35% stayed home. This year, 56% say that they'll hang out with friends and family, while 41% say that they will stay home. Compared to last year, a similar percentage of people are going to church, 30%, and having a meal at a restaurant, 18%. So the biggest change is just spending time with family versus staying home. But I don't know if they've never done this before or not, but this makes perfect sense to me. We do this all the time. Okay, this year we're going here for Easter. Next year you're coming over.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing. Oh, this year we're going to the, uncle's house or aunt's house or whatever. You kind of a roll round robin kind of thing, almost a rotation.
Yeah, for sure. We always do the same. Mm. We do brunch at my mom and dad's, and it's nice. And then those who have other places, like the other side of the family or something like that to go, then they they can do that later on. We usually just hang out for the day. We used to get together with my husband's family in Wausau, but since his mom passed away, I don't know that we've gotten together on Easter. Mm. But it is nice and it's fun and the weather's supposed to be nice, so we'll probably do something outside like a game of kickball.
Nice.
You know, what's startling to me in that is
God, I love kickball.
I like kickball. I just don't like the ball being thrown at me. So I have to be very strategic about my kicking. So I'm a pretty fast runner, so short distances, long distance. But you know, what's startling to me in what you read there in that statement is I really just don't like it, but we can get into this conversation another time, is only 30% of people are going to church. I mean, this is really what Easter's about. And not everyone is of the same, you know, religion or thought process, but there's got to be more than 30% of the population that is Christian.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always kind of startling to me. But that's another philosophical conversation for another day.
I think it's worth noting. Yeah. I think that with especially when it comes to these things, too, we have a after pandemic thing going on here as well. As soon as things opened back up, we couldn't wait to see our family and friends and get around them and be around them. And now we need a break.
Now we
need a break from it and stuff. So I'm kidding, but I'm also
I'm not
100% kidding. No. It's always a little truth in good jokes. There's always a little bit of truth in them. 90 million chocolate bunnies are sold in the U.S. for Easter every year. 90
million. That is crazy.
I will say as a side note, please, please, please resist the urge to give your child a real bunny on Easter. Now, if you've talked about this and it's fitting and it makes sense and all that, and yes, and you think that they're ready for this responsibility and you're ready for this responsibility, because let's all be honest, it's going to fall on you as a parent a bit, then sure. If it's something planned out, but none of this spur of the moment stuff, none of this, this will be cute.
That thought has never even crossed my mind.
Me neither. But every year, shelters like a week or two from now are flooded with rabbits because people do this. They get this idea in their head. Oh, it's just a rat. It's just it's a living creature. Like have some thought.
A side note, though, like, where do you just go to get a rabbit?
Rabbits are us. It's like two blocks down. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Buy local, support local.
Oh, that's what that is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Rabbits are. Now rabbits with a Z, like that place, I don't trust that place. I don't know.
They do procreate quite quickly, though.
They do. When eating chocolate bunnies, 78% of us eat the ears first.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
17% go for the feet first, and 5% make a point to eat the tail first.
So the Palmer Chocolate Company, where a lot of these chocolate bunnies come from, they actually made this year like a 2,000-pound chocolate rabbit.
Whoa. Oh, I didn't see that.
Like, who's going to... They had one. I mean, because someone's going to buy it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm assuming they can't ship it.
I bet that
you just go and take bites off of it? Like
that Hodag monster is about the only thing that'd be fitting for. Just put it next to that. That's it.
Otherwise,
I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. Cadbury cream eggs are classic, and they're also number one in the poll of the worst Easter candies.
Do you like them?
I couldn't tell you.
This is the one with
the
frosting in the middle, right?
I'm not big on things with filling.
Love them.
Oh yeah!
Isn't that obnoxious? It's just a pile of sugar. Like, I mean, probably raw sugar is better for you. I love those things. Like, I love them.
I love when we love something and we know we shouldn't, and it drives us crazy.
I have not had one this year.
Oh, good.
But I will. But I love them.
I have
a feeling. Like crawl when I bite into them, but.
I have a feeling that I'll end up having one in the sometime because I haven't had one in so long.
On Monday, when there's 10,000 of them on sale for half price, I'll buy you one.
Oh, that is the best. The day like
day after Halloween,
November
day after Easter.
1st, and the day after Easter, the two greatest days for candy lovers. Yes, run to the whatever store.
Except, do you ever go to somebody's house and like they have a little dish of candy?
Yeah,
you know, and it's like September, but it's in the pastel Easter color. I mean, I'm not saying the candy's bad, but like at my house, I can't leave that out. I just can't.
I don't know how many times this happened. Most grandparents had some hard candy out or something like that. My grandmother, my mom's mom, she would also have like a bunch of mixed nuts out, and she wanted the kids to eat those more. So she would never change the hard candy, and I'll never forget picking it up and like the whole thing comes up. Yeah, it's like, all right, I guess I'm eating some peanuts. Grandmother did it. She knew what she was doing.
You should have shoved that whole ball of candy in your mouth. That's what you should have done. That's,
I missed the opportunity. I wish I would have thought of that. That's so good. What are the rest? Peeps are second worst, followed by Easter candy corn.
Okay, I love Peeps too. Darn it. Easter candy must just be my thing.
And the solid chocolate bunnies. Oh, that's wrong. I like the solid ones. Oreo cream eggs. I have not tried those.
Yeah.
And generic jelly beans also made the top 10. I think I know what to, because most jelly beans are really good. But like the ones that they didn't put any effort into them. Like, you know, that there's
like
no
the
flavor.
Original ones,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like the saddest.
Like the real jelly beans?
Yeah, yeah. There's just nothing to them. There's we've been spoiled by jelly beans.
I love Peeps.
Yeah,
I'm not
gonna
lie.
No, I think it's good to admit this. It's
they can't
healthy.
Be. They can't be flavored.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You know they have like all those watermelon,
oh, yeah,
like
they
all
have
those.
A billion of them, no?
They cannot be flavored, and they have to be yellow or pink. I would prefer yellow.
Nice.
And I would prefer the Peep over the bunny, but I'll eat the bunnies too.
Huh, interesting, and good to know. Yeah, I'm sure
there you go, Dr. James.
Yes, I'm writing all this. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back in an 8 o'clock hour. Not only do we have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, we'll have an update from our Weather Eye Weather Center and Melissa's News. We're also going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's here at WFHR.